אני שייך, הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקיי גם בקרבי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, posted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Again, we are here, privileged to be with Rav Nachman Kahana here in Yerushalayim, discussing what is happening in current events, what is happening in the parsha, what is going on in the world. Here we are in just a little over a month before Shemitah year of Tavshin.
Pei Bet,
right? Yoel Schwartz says that Shvi'it, the word Shvi'it, I mean, it's spelled a couple times in the Torah, it's spelled with just one yud, not two. Shvi'it is the same gematria as Tavshin Pei Bet. So this is going to be a Shemitah of a very special Shemitah. And we're looking forward to hearing what Rav Nachman has to tell us.
Since you mentioned it, I would add another comment. Tavshin Pei Bet is Tavshin Payback. We have to give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the beautiful land that He gives us for 6 years to work on. But you give it back to Him as payback, and B'zat Hashem, we get it back again in Tavshin Pei Gimel. He asked me about what I think about what's going on in the world and in the country. I have no idea what's going on, Bukhma. I just know that we are servants of Hashem, and whatever he grants us and puts in our way, the challenges that He wants us to overcome, we have to do it. And that's the whole thing. Hashem is the master. We are created entities, and we have to keep His Torah. But I do know something. I'm sitting over here now. We're sitting in Yerushalayim, overlooking the beautiful tree-filled neighborhood of Talpiot. I'm wondering, where did Hashem give me the seichel? Me and my wife, 60 years ago, to come to Eretz Yisrael. My rabbis didn't come. My friends didn't come. The Rosh Yeshivas didn't come. But I came. And when we came, my wife left a very comfortable home in the west side of New York, and I had a comfortable home in Brooklyn. Father was the rabbi of the area. And we came, we lived in a hut in Moshav Nechalim. A hut, now there's, Lincoln lived in a log cabin. That was a dream for us. This a hut that Olim, that came from Iraq and from Morocco, lived on in the 1950s. I was a teacher in yeshiva, and that's what they had. One and a half rooms of a hut. Just to explain to you what it means, one night we were sleeping, and then an earthquake. Hut started to move. What's happening? I got up, looked in the window, and there's a horse looking at me. He was enclosed in the clothesline. He's pulling himself out. In the meantime, he's pushing the whole hut to come with him. And then I take a look, and as I got older, you look back, you know, you reminisce. How much did we see? All the wars and all the victories. And when I came, there were like about 2 million people in the country, Jews. Now there are over close to 7 million people in the country. Yerushalayim, maybe at its height, was maybe a quarter of what it is today in Yerushalayim, an area. Maybe even less. Yerushalayim is growing all the time, every neighborhood. If there are probably more of these what do you call it, the manofim. The cranes. And Yerushalayim than any place, than probably even Shanghai. Baruch Hashem. We saw a lot, but even what we saw until now is just a fraction of what's going to be in the future. But Gemara says there's going to be greater miracles in the future than the one we went out of Mitzrayim. Now, how do you measure a miracle? There's no miracle meter to measure it. If you talk about a miracle, the way to measure a miracle is to see the essence, or see the intensity of the dangers in front of you. The greater the danger, the greater the miracle. I mean, if there's going to be greater miracles in the future, there's going to be greater, more intense challenges. And it's very simple why. All the miracles in the Torah were local. Us and Mitzrayim. Us and, say, Amalek. Us and Edom. But today there's no such thing as us and one person. Today it's a global village, the whole world. And the whole world is in potential against Israel. Ben and Jerry's is just a phenomenon which is it's showing what people are thinking. Okay, anyway, we are coming to the close of this year, and it's Chodesh Elul on Sunday and Monday. Remember, my Rebbe once said, every day in the year should be like Elul. In other words, they were thinking about themselves, looking inside, doing tshuva. So if every day in the world has to be like Elul, Elul certainly has to be like Elul. In other words, there are a lot of things that we have to clean up. The very idea of a country which is democratic and Jewish doesn't go together. That's on a higher level. A lot of things that for Hashem to do. The problem is he's leaving us to do it. And that's the problem.
How do you see connection between the miracles of that are going to be greater than Mitzrayim versus the Rambam's opinion that Olam Kimin Hagonoeg, that things are going to be just the way they always were?
Things like this. The Rambam also says all the miracles can be attributed to natural occasions. So what is the miracle? It's the timing. The Jews, just at that time, a big wind came and divided the waters of the Red Sea. Just at that time. That's the miracle. It was could have been a natural occurrence, but it's the timing of Hashem. That's what the miracle is. Aside from that, they're simply miracles. When we fought in 1948, there was nothing here. How many people? We had 600,000 people against hundreds of thousands of Arabs. They mustered together seven armies and invaded us. And if we won, that's not a natural occurrence. There are really simply where Hashem involves himself in the world and life and changes things. And we see it all along. Six-day war, all of a sudden, six-day war, where now? Where now? The masters of Yerushalayim. How'd that happen? I always say, you take a person in Auschwitz, 1945, January 1945. What is the distance between him and Medinat Israel? Tell him, in 3 years there's going to be a Jewish state with a Jewish army. He says, you're crazy. They're making soap from us now. In 3 years there were. The distance between that man and Auschwitz and Medinat Israel is light years longer and bigger than between us today and the Beit HaMikdash. You say this to Beis HaMikdash, say, okay, it may happen, it may not happen. But it's not going to happen. Because we know things are happening at such a rate in the world and in this country that anything can be tomorrow. Okay, but that's what it is.
Maybe it's also a matter of perspective that we daven three times a day, V'techazena einenu v'shuv choletzion v'rachamim, that we should be able to see, V'techazena einenu, all the miracles that are unfolding around us. Many people don't see these miracles. Those that are very sensitive and acutely can see what's happening. And some of us, it's so clear. The ones for sure that are here in Eretz Israel, it's very clear. For those that are stuck in Chutz Laaretz, it's not so clear sometimes the miracles. Otherwise, they'd be on the next plane here, perhaps.
Your understanding of V'tachazena einenu v'shuvcha l'tzion, we should be able to see the great miracles. That explanation is right for here. In Chutz Laaretz, they explain it differently. V'tachazena einenu, let the eye see, v'shuvcha, you're coming back to Tzion. I'm staying right here. That's the way it's explained over there. Anyway, I'd like to read you what I wrote this week. Okay. It's called the unique singular state of Israel versus the many states of Jews. A group of youngsters were playing hide and seek. A little girl was hiding in a bush and crying. When asked, "Why are you crying?" she replied, "No one is looking for me." And the challenges we face as Hashem's chosen people, the Creator hides from us and we have to search Him out. Most people live their lives not really searching for the Omnipotent. However, there are those who long to understand the ways of Hashem despite the impossibility of the mission. For Hashem's thoughts are above and beyond the comprehension of mortal man. Consider playing a multi-level interconnected chess game composed of 5 chess boards, one above the other, all by heart. One of the great intellectual dilemmas facing the healthy religious segment of Am Yisrael is the phenomena of seemingly important rabbis in the Galut, called the Torah Carta of New York or Brooklyn, who would rejoice at the dissolution of Medinat Israel. Their joy would extend to praising and even visiting Iran, which is close to achieving weapons of mass destruction to be used, according to them, against the Jewish state. There is a larger presence of rabbis and scholars who adamantly refuse to recognize that the post-1948 Jewish nation will never again revert to the situation of pre-1948 Jewry. The way Hashem relates to His chosen people during the 2,000-year Gullet has taken a turn from seemingly hester panim, concealment to apathy, to gilui panim, total involvement in reconciling with His people Israel. But these rabbis and scholars and their adherents cannot see the very clear handwriting on the wall. Now I would like to relate to this phenomena. I received a video of hundreds of children and their instructors at a summer camp, chanting extreme anti-Israel slogans and hurling eggs at a car meant to represent the convoy of Israel's prime minister. This scene is repeated every year at the summer camps sponsored by Hamas in Gaza and the PA in the liberated areas of Shomron and Yehuda. However, this particular video was sent by Yeshiva World News. The children were attending summer camps affiliated with the Sadma movement, whose dynastic leadership was divided between Mazalman Leib Teitelman of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and his brother of Aaron Teitelman of Kiryat Ono after the father's death. In other words, at these camps, they were throwing eggs or stuff at something which was supposed to represent Israeli prime minister. There's in this world only one Jewish state, regarding which the Torah says in Devarim 11:12. It is the land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. In contrast to Medinat Israel, there are many states of Jews dispersed throughout the world. A state of Jews has its laws and mores, which determine who will be accepted as a citizen and who will be rejected. A state of Jews can be identified by its absolute conformity to all the important features of life, food, dialect, dress, gender control, marriage within the group, conformist education, absolute dictatorial leader, and a leader's thief image. The Satmar adherents have 2 states of Jews in New York, one in Williamsburg and the other in Kiryat Yoel. Not to be outdone, Lithuanian School of Thought has a major state of Jews in Lakewood. And then there are other states of Jews, the United States and Europe, not to mention a new city right outside of Mexico City being built exclusively for a Haredim. Despite the competitive differences between these states of Jews, the one dominant common feature is that they all are united in their opposition to the Medinat Israel. The Jewish state is different from these states of Jews in every way. Firstly, it exists on the ancient soil of God's given homeland, Eretz Israel. It is glaringly diverse with people from over 100 lands, speaking different languages, preferring different varieties of food, dress, values, speech, marriage outside of closed groups. Diversity in education is called Medinat Yisrael. And its challenge is to synchronize these tribes into one functioning nation dedicated to the advancement of Am Yisrael. Although the goals and the challenges of the Jewish state are far different than those of the various states of Jews, each state of Jews indeed fulfilled an important role in shaping the future development, redemption of our people. Medinat Yisrael, the Jewish state, has to unite in finding the common bond that exists between the 6.5 million Jews who have come here to carry on Jewish history, so horribly severed 2,000 years ago with the Talmud's destruction and the exile. The Medina needs positive forces of love and optimism in our future. Forces are joined together in defending the land and toiling to strengthen our security, economy, and political independence. Medina does not need negative, critical, and undermining elements within the land that weaken the fabric of our society. The Medrash states that when 80% of the Jews in Egypt refused to leave with Moshe and died during the plague of darkness, Moshe asked Hashem, why was it necessary to take all these people away? Hashem replied that out of the 80% who died, he said, I left 2 alive, so that you, Moshe, would understand justification of such an extreme move. The 2 survivors were the infamous Datan and Aviram, who would spill Moshe's blood when opposing every move that Moshe made. Hashem said to Moshe, what would he do if I had left 1 million Datans and Avirams? Then Moshe understood what Hashem had done for the future of Am Yisrael. The various states of Jews in the Galut play an important role as catalysts for the future of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. Why? They attract the haters of the Jewish state and draw them away from us, thus removing the impurities from our land. Medina does not need people who sit on the sidelines and criticize, curse, and undermine what we are doing here. These people, citizens of the Galut states of Jews, have made their peace with the golden lands of the exile, while Hashem and the upper segment of our nation are proceeding in building the infrastructure of the third Jewish commonwealth. With all my heart, I wish these states of Jews well. Let them prosper and add more and more electronic stores and be happy with their spiritual leaders. But they should know, in the back of their minds, that when the sword is poised above their heads, the Medina will be there to save them, just as the Zionists saved the Satmar Rav, Rabbi Yehuda Teitelbaum, Zechel Bishkon Lebracha, from the Holocaust. In other words, we don't need people here undermining what we're doing. So these states of Jews, simply they attract them, and they don't come here. So it leaves a more positive element here to work and to do and to fight and to go to the military and do what you have to do to build a Jewish state. And let them stay there, let them criticize, let them whatever you want. But just not here.
So I'd like to broach a sensitive subject. On one hand, we are Zionists, we are pro the Medina, we're national religious, and we are claiming that the Medina is a large step in the redemptive process. But on the flip side of that is we both understand that this is just a stepping stone to the next step, because there's a lot that needs to be changed here, and that includes the large Arab population that's in the country, that includes a change of government from perhaps a democracy to a monarchy. It includes a change of the, next week we're going to have Shoftim, we're going to change of all the judiciary in the country. There's a lot of changes that are going to be need to be made that is going to fundamentally change the essence of the Medina as we know it today.
Granted. So what's your question?
My question is how you rectify those two things. How on one hand we can be so pro a Medina which is so faulty.
I'll tell you. Medinat Yisrael was established 100 years too late. Had it been in 1848, there would have been a land based on the Torah. But it was 1948 when the major part of Torah Jewry and Rabbanim were wiped out in Europe. 100 years too late. Had it been 1848, the winter in the Shoah, Jews would have come here and built the Jewish state. Now, there's a halacha and Gemara and the Rambam. When building the Beit HaMikdash, it's preferred to have Kohanim building with their hands. You have no Kohanim, you have Levim. No Levim, you can add Yisraelim. If you have people who are not Tahor, but they are ritually impure, bring them also. Whoever can build, you have to build it. But the minute that it's finished, oh, everyone goes away. Then comes all the laws of Yirat, of Harabayit, Beit HaMikdash. When Medina came about, it was the, I'll tell the truth, it was the Marxist, socialist, communist, and religious people that led the Jewish agency. Because where were we? We're in the Shtiblach, the Shtetlach, and we didn't move. My great-grandfather came in 1863, but other great-grandfathers did not come here. And so Hashem said, the time has come to make a Medina. Who's around? Rabbi so-and-so? No, he's in some place there. What about Rabbi? No, he's not coming. Who's left? David Ben-Gurion. He wants to do the job? Yes. There's a very interesting story about Ben-Gurion. It was early 1960s or late 1950s, there's the Yishuv called Yatvata. Yatvata is a little bit north of Eilat, deep in the Arava, deep in the desert. And they came on, they began on the land, they alu ala karka, as they say, and they began the Yishuv. And everyone who was who in the country went down for the ceremony of opening this Yishuv Yatvata. Ben-Gurion was the prime minister. If he comes, everybody comes. In those days, you couldn't take a plane there. It was a bus ride and a non-air-conditioned bus, and you had to go 4 or 5 hours. It was difficult. Ben-Gurion is going to make a speech. All the ministers went and the reporters went. They're waiting to hear what Ben-Gurion is going to say about the first development in the Negev. Ben-Gurion's turn came, he got up and he said 3 words and he sat down. You'll have to maybe translate for me. He says, Ta'izu, Tatmidu, Tatzlichu. Ta'izu means have the fortitude and the chutzpah.
To dare.
The daring. Tatmidu, you have to be consistent. Tatzlichu, and you'll succeed. Now he said, explained, if I would have made a long speech, nobody would remember what I said. Everybody remembers these 3 words. Ta'izu, tatmidu, tatzlichu. And he was a man, twice, he was God's gift to Am Yisrael. He was a Polish action. He was a stubborn Polish Jew. According to halacha, now what's so special about him and the people like him? According to halacha, if you put everything on the table, yes, declare Medina, don't declare Medina, it comes out, halachically, which is mathematics, no, don't declare Medina. America took back its vote to the United Nations not to recognize the country. They put down an arms embargo on the country. You couldn't send a bullet from America. Other countries followed suit. And how many fighters do we have? Maybe of 600,000 people, how big an army can you have? We had no air force, we had no tanks, we had nothing. And then there was a vote. Declare the Medina, don't declare the Medina. And it was not so simple. There was a rabbi, Rav Maimon, who was on the Hanalah of the Sochnut. And they needed him for the vote in Tel Aviv. They didn't know what's going to be. How the people are going to vote? How is the Sochnut Jewish ain't going to vote? They had to bring him. He had broken his foot and he had a cast from his hip to the bottom. He was not a young man. They flew a plane, a one-seater, Piper, and it landed in what's today is Givat Shaul. It's a beautiful street called the Kanfein Nesharim, a center, commercial center. And there's one pilot, and they brought Rav Maimon, but it's only place for one person to sit. So the pilot sat down in the pilot seat. They picked up Rav Maimon, put him in the pilot's lap, with his foot outside with the cast, and that's they flew him to Tel Aviv. They needed a vote, because the vote is very close. Yes or no? And Hashem made the miracle that despite all logic and despite even the halachic thought, the Medina was declared, and after 6 months of fighting, we became three times bigger than we were before. And then the rest is history. So you say, Hashem, when the time comes, He takes anybody that can do the job. You may not like it, it may not be hygienic enough for you, for some people, but they did it. They made the job. I once say that, for example, when Ezra came back to build the second temple, there's a last perek in Kedushin, Asra Yuchsin. He came with 10 different kinds of genealogy. Mamzerim, and the Tinim, and questionable genealogy of people. But they came back, and they made the second temple. So what? You get, even Hashem's, I take what I can get. The others sitting in the yeshiva in Bavel, happy. And these Jews went and they built a second temple. Us too. Good people sitting away, not even thinking about coming here. And yet who came? Those that built the land. Those that were willing to get the dirt under their nails, died from malaria, and fought, and they built the Jewish Medina. Hashem doesn't need people who, you know, they go along, they keep halacha. He wants to see with nefesh. How much does it mean to you that you're a Jew, that I made you a Jew? What does it mean to you to bring the Jewish redemption back again? Few people, but those are the ones that brought the Medina, and Medina is the beginning of the Gula of Am Yisrael. Never were there so many Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Almost 7 million people, as I said, by Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is huge compared to Shlomo Melech. Yerushalayim was a little city, tiny. Today it's huge. The neighbors I don't even know, the four neighbors that have never been in Yerushalayim today. Hashem b'emet opened our eyes and let us see, let us be cognizant, conscious of the miracles that you do.
So who is going to be more surprised? We'll end off with this. Who's going to be more surprised? The Dati Lumi, who's going to see a complete transformation of the Medina as they see it and they recognize it today, or the Haredi, who is going to see that the Medina was an integral part of the process which led to the end stage?
The truth of the matter is we're all going to be very surprised, because it's not going to be in any way that anybody today can predict. You go and ask 1,000 people, how are the final, what will be the final gula? They'll give 1,000 answers, they'll all be wrong. Hashem will do something to surprise everybody. But when the Mashiach comes, not going to be only happy breaking out the bottle, making a schnapps. It's going to be a difficult pulling of teeth. There's in the Gemara, there are two rabbis that are arguing about when Mashiach comes. One says, "Yeteh lo amine, let him come, but I don't want to be around." And one says, "No, let him come. I'm willing to be around." It's the way. It's what your it's what your nature is. Are you someone who's a heroic or someone who's not heroic? But anyway, it's not going to be easy, like giving birth to a child. We men don't know about it, but ask a woman, what does it mean giving birth? Giving birth to a nation, like giving birth to a child. But no one knows, the Rambam says, don't discuss these things because nobody will know. It's just a waste of time. Just have to know it's going to happen. How it's going to happen? Who's going to be around? Although I have an opinion about my opinion, there are going to be a lot less people in the world when Mashiach comes than there are today in the world. There are 9 billion people in the world today. It's going to be a lot less. A lot less. Who knows? I don't want to say how it's going to come about, but it's going to be a lot less people. A lot less Jews also. But then, okay. Let's wait and see what's going to be.
And you said that the only loyal ones will stay here in Yerushalayim. The many people even here, the religious
Eretz
people.
Israel.
And Eretz Israel will escape.
I see they're going to be a feeling, an atmosphere of fear. But maybe the potential war or all kind of other things. A lot of people are going to leave here. Arabs are going to leave. A lot of non-observers are going to leave. 80,000 from illegals from Africa are going to leave. Those are going to be here. Because I lived through this. In the Six-Day War, I lived in the Kiryat Sanda in Netanya. And there were 3 weeks of preparation before the war broke out. Families, many families, just ran right out from the country. And I was there every day. There was a never-ending stream of taxis taking people to the airport. From Kiryat Sanda. But not only the Kiryat Sanda, all over the country. And what was their punishment? They were not here. What was our sechar? We were here. Because the joy of hearing on the radio, Yerushalayim is liberated. It's impossible to explain what kind of a joy and fervor were here. That night, it was on Wednesday, 10:15 in the morning. That night, it was pitch black. There was a blackout in all over the country. And I got the young people from Kiryat Sanda, Hasidim, did something unprecedented, never before, never again. It must have been maybe 50 or 100 of them, not children, young men. And we walked to Netanya, center of town, about half an hour walk, and it was pitch black. And we started to make circles, and we started to sing about Yerushalayim. And the townspeople were there, they joined in. Now, it was so black, you couldn't even see who you're holding hands with. And it was like, never was there ever such a thing. And I got up and I spoke, and it was something else. Yerushalayim. First time in 2,000 years, we are supreme in Yerushalayim. Now, what happened later? Okay. Human beings have a way of messing things up. When my father once said to me, and Netrog before Sukkot is so beautiful. The color, the shape, the feel to it. After 8 days, what does it look like after 8 days? Not so nice. What happened? People touched it. Whatever people touch, most people, they destroy. That's what it is. That's the thing called the human being. Unless you're a real Ben Torah, but the most people are that way.
Okay, we look forward to seeing the miracles unfold, greater miracles than we've ever seen before, and we look forward to seeing you all here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, soon in our days. Be well. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is the place to be.